Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Roddy, your host, and I am back from our short break this morning, and we're talking with Eric Zarin, the chairman of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission. And he's been telling us the story the last several weeks. He's been telling us the story of individuals who have won the Hero Fund Award twice. They've saved the lives two times, putting their own life at risk. And we're going to hear another story about that today. Eric, welcome to Heroes.
Thank you, Jim. It's always such a pleasure to be with you. And my distinct pleasure to talk about the sixth and final two-time recipient of the Carnegie Medal for Heroism. As we've talked about, over 10,000 Carnegie Medals have been presented over the almost 120-year history of the Carnegie Hero Fund. And so these six individuals that placed their lives in danger on two separate occasions to try to save the life of another individual are really remarkable and really stand out. And we dedicate an entire chapter to them of our most recently published book, A New Century of Heroes, and for very good reason. Now, this sixth and final two-time recipient is kind of dear to me, as it's only one of the six that was awarded during my tenure at the Hero Fund. And let me tell you the story of Michael Robert Kaiser, who was Carnegie Hero number 7617, then again 10209. Michael Robert Kaiser is the sixth person in the Hero Fund's history to receive the Carnegie Medal twice. He received the Carnegie Medal for heroism at age 19 when he risked electrocution to pull a 37-year-old driver from his vehicle that had struck a utility pole. And then 30 years later, he went again to the aid of a motorist who was in an overturned tractor trailer and attempted to break the windshield to pull the man from the car when another semi-truck careened into the overturned truck, which hit and killed Kaiser. So that second rescue in 2020 that was awarded in 2022, I have firsthand knowledge of, and I was honored to bestow that award on Mr. Kaiser and to his family. But when Kaiser was 19 years old, we'll go to the first incident, he arrived at the scene of a one-vehicle accident. This was on February 25th, 1990. It was off an Apple Valley, California highway. The vehicle had struck a utility pole, causing the pole to break off and then hang from the lines that it had supported, and flames erupted the front end of the car. Now, although two other passersby had been shocked while in proximity to the car, Kaiser reached through the open driver's door and pulled the 37-year-old driver from the vehicle and took him to safety. Then many years later, on January 19, 2020, again in Apple Valley, California, Kaiser, then 49 years old, and a mine worker from Hesperia, California, was driving at night when he saw an overturned semi-truck with its tractor extending about 3 feet into the roadway. Now, Kaiser stopped, got out on foot, he crossed the highway and approached the scene. Now, at the truck, he pounded on the truck's windshield with a flashlight as the truck driver stood inside the cab, unable to lift himself out of the open driver's window. Now, this was at a precarious spot on the highway, just over a rise, and again at night. And within seconds, another semi-truck hauling two trailers containing hundreds of pounds of flammable lighter fluid struck the overturned semi, pushing it and Kaiser off the highway into the desert. Both trucks immediately erupted into flames. Kaiser and the man he was trying to rescue both died, sadly.
Wow.
So two-time recipient of the Carnegie Medal, Mr. Kaiser, on his second rescue attempt, died at the age of 49 and made the ultimate sacrifice for a stranger.
Wow, that is real a tragic story. And it shows you that the first time he was successful in making a rescue and not being killed, and then the next time he tested his luck and it ran out.
Right. We know the human element, as we've always talked about, and the fear, and even some of the after effects that our heroes experience after a traumatic rescue. All of these two-time awardees would have had that, I think, come right back to them, right, in the second circumstance. And it didn't alter the decision that they made, which really says something about their character.
Well, it doesn't seem like a terrible tragedy like that would happen in a place called Apple Valley.
Yeah, right.
It sounds like idyllic or something.
Yeah, this was real world stuff. And you think about the speeds traveled on a California highway at night and with some real challenges. You know, Kaiser didn't hesitate, but just by virtue of where he was and what he was trying to do, he was in extreme danger.
Yes.
But danger that he did not shy away from.
Well, now, when you present these stories to your board, how long does it take someone to adjust to be able to be a functioning member of your board and judging these? Do you go through several awards and they listen to them, or do they grasp this quickly, or is it over a period of several times?
I think it varies, Jim, but there's definitely, I guess, what you could call a learning curve in terms of what our specific awarding requirements are. And there are some nuances to it, and that's what the board is there for. You know, to make decisions, sometimes difficult decisions, strictly against our awarding requirements, but taking into account all of the elements of a rescue scene that, you know, need to be considered, that go to voluntary risk by the rescuer, lack of any responsibility that would have compelled them to act. You know, in some cases, there's abandonment of the rescue by the rescuer, which could cause them to be deemed ineligible for the award. Not in all cases. We also look at, in some cases, things as, you know, real life, as the potential influence of drugs or alcohol that could affect the rescuer in some cases as to their decision-making abilities, as to their full realization and understanding of the risk that they're about to undertake. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And I think over the course of time, there's a certain experience and skill set that comes into it with a board member in sitting at the table. But they certainly learn the various elements, how they're addressed, and how important they are to the integrity of the Carnegie Medal as they go. And I think, you know, we've had members that have served on the board for over 50 years. And wow. I think that there's never an end to that learning experience, and certainly never an end to the impact that these awards and these cases have on the members of the board.
Well, one of the things you could do with new board members is have them listen to the replay of this show and all of the times you've been on, and they could get a real education just doing that.
Absolutely. I hope they're listening. So any members of the commission board, welcome to the broadcast. They do an important work. They're vital to the operation of the fund and the awarding of these heroic acts. And, you know, they, like I, really love to tell the stories as well. And they participate in medal presentations as often as they can. And they give it their all in terms of considering these acts for recognition.
Well, really, when you're looking for board members, you want to have someone that's going to be there for a while.
Yep.
What's the average length of time that somebody stays on the board?
Really hard to say, but I think their longevity, as a general rule, speaks volumes about the work that's done. And, you know, the way, not just the work itself and the task we undertake, but the way it's gone about. I mean, with objectivity, but real empathy and understanding, and, you know, a real willingness to support and a desire to support those who would sacrifice so that they, as Andrew Carnegie said many years ago, would not suffer as a result.
Well, you know, I've been on a lot of boards. I think probably 40 or 50 boards in my lifetime. I'm still on several. And I've never been on a board where the board members were asked to make the kind of decisions that your board makes. And there must be a great deal of satisfaction when you have made a decision to give an award to someone for their heroism. We don't own regular boards. We don't do that, do we?
Right.
You might get an award for being on time for 10 years or something, but or being some special contribution that you made, but nothing to the magnitude of this, where you're dealing with lives and they're making decisions that are very important, and especially in these cases where people get financial aid. Your board members must feel like they've really accomplished something. They must be proud of the work that they do.
I certainly think so. And it hits home at a very human level, as we've said, throughout the award consideration process. Also, you know, when medals are presented, which again, when they have the opportunity to see that firsthand, you really get a sense of the impact of that recognition on an individual or on a family who has lost a loved one who sacrificed their very life for another individual. And it's really important work. And I like to think that it really does, it makes a difference. It makes a difference to those directly impacted. And we hope it makes a difference for the community at large.
Well, the name of this show is Heroes, and you have certainly added emphasis to that in the times that you have been with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Eric Zarin, the chairman of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission. Eric has been with us for the past several weeks talking about the two-time winners, and we hope that he will come back in the future and tell us more about Andrew Carnegie Commission Heroes.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for this broadcast.
Thank you.